Hello everyone, Lucifer here. It's that time of year again when everyone's busy, so we're taking a week off from chronicling our adventures to make proper introductions for the characters and the world they inhabit. It's frosty out there, but take off that jacket. No need for that. It's never a cold day down here.
Welcome to Ghost Puncher Core. If you're listening to this episode before you check out the rest of them, good job, you're in the right place. If you've already been listening to Ghost Puncher Core for the past 9 episodes and we're hoping for a new episode in the I Saw the Arizona Lights arc, sorry! We're recording a different thing. It's like an introductory show for people who are new to Ghost Puncher, actual play podcasts, or Dungeons & Dragons in general. So, we're doing this because it's fucking December 21st. Our normal podcast recording would take place next week, and we're all going to be fucked up on cookies and merriment by then. Some of us are already kind of pre-gaming on the cookies and merriment pretty hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
They make red velvet Oreos. I'm going to die.
Oh, God.
Oh,
that's not good. You know, I don't like anything that can be eaten in sleeve quantity because I feel like that's like a challenge to me. It's like Tetris. You know what I mean? I just have to have it reach the bottom mm-hmm. every time. It's not great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've eaten a whole yeah. like row of Oreos. It's not great.
So essentially we're recording this podcast for my mother who's gonna love like listening to like an explanation of like what the hell this show is and what like any of the shit that she's gonna be listening to like means that it mm-hmm. she'll love it as mm-hmm. soon as she figures out how to download podcasts. So
I don't know if that's a joke or if your mom is you've actually trying to get your mom to listen to this podcast, but please don't.
She's tried 3 times, and I've told my sister that her Christmas present to me is to teach my mom how to download podcasts.
Goodness.
Sorry, I know you said please don't show this podcast to my mother. I'm going to.
I just feel like this is not the kind of thing your mom would enjoy. I mean, I don't know your mom very well, so maybe I'm wrong.
I know my mom plenty well, and I think she'd love it. I think a lot of people love it. So many people. It's so wonderful. Anyway.
At least 4.
So many people already love it.
At least 4. Yeah.
At least 4 people love it.
Tens of people are clamoring for this podcast. This actual play podcast, meaning that we're role-playing scenarios set up by me, the Dungeon Master, while my cadre of beautiful friends and my wife play each of their characters solving puzzles and mysteries in this world I've set up. It's like collaborative storytelling with rules and dice using the framework of Dungeons & Dragons. Basically, like, I say, like, hey, you're in a fucking room, and then one of y'all says, like, oh, I want to punch the wall, and I say, roll the dice.
How big is the room? What's in the room?
It's a 9x9x9 room, and there is 18 dildos just in a pile.
So, Yayoi Kusama exhibition, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then one of you tries to punch the dildos. I make you roll a dice. I'll say like a D20 or something like that. That just means a 20-sided die. And whatever the roll is on that means like you succeed or you don't succeed. There's a lot of different things that that the characters can do. But it really all just comes down to like, oh, hey, you roll a dice. You did good at that or you did bad at that. And that's really all you need to know about, like, the rules part of Dungeons & Dragons, because we're just kind of hanging out on a call and telling a weird story together. So Ghost Puncher is sort of it started out as a webcomic by me and my friend Ina. You can go to ghostpuncher.net to read it. It's about a sort of a supernatural crime crime fighter, not really crime fighter, it's more of a
investigator,
keeping the peace investigator among the living and the dead, the denizens of demons, denizens of hell, undead humans, etc. and so on, either in hell or here on the mortal plane. And like I said, you can read that at ghostpuncher.net. It's been going for a couple of years. This summer, we kind of split off Ghost Puncher into Ghost Puncher Core, this podcast. The characters on Ghost Puncher Core, Petua, Electra, and Mikey, with possibly more to come. Woo!
They're all ghosts, I guess, because we just spoke that into existence.
The characters on Ghost Puncher Core are like, they are other paranormal investigators working for Lucifer, who is sort of a lord of the lands of the living and the dead. She tasks y'all with looking into various assignments. The three of you, Amanda, Cassidy, and Electra play Petua, Mikey.
Amanda, Cassidy, and Electra?
Fuck!
That's my real name.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, okay.
So fucking
damn
method.
It. Amanda, Cassidy, and Sid play Petua, Mikey, and Electra, respectively. Let's hear a little bit about Petua. Give us, just kind of a what's Petua's deal? I don't want you to go into like spoiler territories, because like everybody has, these complex backstories that will be revealed over time. But
Does everybody have those?
Oh, I didn't write one. Oops, sorry.
Oh God. Yeah,
I didn't do my podcast homework. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, no. Petua just kind of sprang into existence 15 minutes before this podcast started. Yeah. But everybody else has an elaborate backstory. But tell us about Petua.
All right, so Petua Jones is the character that I, Amanda, play on Ghost Puncher Core. And kind of like the rest of the cast, I would say the podcast, if you're about to listen to it or if you have listened to it, it starts kind of in media res. And she, like the rest of the gang, is kind of thrust into the situation with Lucifer being asked to investigate things that she doesn't really feel qualified to investigate. She's kind of a little bit nerdy, probably a little bit more outspoken than a warlock should be, which is what she is, technically, if we're navigating D&D terminology. I'm pretty sure I throw that warlock word around a couple times in the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But it means basically that she's a spellcaster who draws her power from a source that is not necessarily the usual arcane energy that normal wizards or spellcasters do. And you'll see that there are a lot of different ways to access kind of magical or arcane power in the Ghost Hunter world. And Petua's, I'm just going to say that she's an art historian at heart. And fundamentally, that's kind of how she ticks. And cultural materials mean a lot to her in a lot of different ways. And she kind of finds herself in this group, and navigating different relationships and trying to, sometimes take the lead, sometimes shut herself up a little bit, much like me, usually. That's kind of who she is. I could go into more of it, but basically she is, she's a spellcaster. She kind of comes from mysterious origins. She definitely has lived in the real world for a very long time. And that's another thing about the Ghost Puncher universe. It is set technically in what we would hesitantly call modern day, right? Just a modern day that's a little bit scarier than ours in a lot of ways, but also a little bit more chill. I mean, if I could cast spells now, I'd probably feel better about myself.
I definitely feel better about myself.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice just to kind of get it out? I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do some dumb shit with magic. I mean, look. I'm just an art historian, and that's really all you need to know. Then I'm gonna swing my hammer and I'm gonna hit him in the head.
His fucking skull caves in. Like, you obliterated this dude.
Do I get any on my sunglasses? No, would you believe me if I told you that the troubling aesthetics of braining somebody with a hammer are actually not as upsetting as the troubling aesthetics that Petua has to access whenever she casts a spell?
The challenge that you must endure is a team-building exercise, but I prefer to think of it as the ecstatic annihilation of the barriers between you and your teammates.
I'm gonna go wait in the car.
Prepare yourselves for the pipe organ of doom.
I really don't want to see your pipe organ. I'm fine, nope. I think. Mm.
This is gonna sound maybe a little bit presumptuous, but have you ever been in a fight?
I mean, I've gotten my ass kicked a few times.
All right, there might be a fight. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, I just want you to try very hard to not die. Because I would feel bad.
Oh.
All right, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna grab the gun and shoot the guy.
Hell yeah.
Without taking off my sunglasses.
Okay. I mean, does Petra have a history with firearms? Does Petra have experience?
Eve, please.
Please. It's a genuine question.
I know.
Oh, you're the feds.
All right, buddy, tell us what you know.
No.
I kick him.
No!
Kick him again.
Look,
You wanna.
I don't know anything I've seen.
Have you seen the raptor?
What? Nope.
The rabbits report to a guy, you're gonna love this, eats people.
Huh.
So if you had anything to share, now might be a good time.
So a woman in a fucking beautiful white turtleneck walks out. Yeah, I knew that would be all Petra's jam.
Mikey, what do you think about all this?
I don't think she likes you very much.
Yeah.
She seems to like me.
Yeah, she does. Lazarus. We all like you.
You. And she's looking at Petra particularly interestedly. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Petra. That was really great, what you just did back there. That was really, really good. Very, very impressed. I did the other stuff that you saw earlier. That was me.
Well, I wasn't watching, but okay.
Oh, it was really good. Trust me, it was so good.
My name is Anya St. Jean.
Anya, really, really nice to meet you.
Petra, she pulls out a little business card, and it says on it, Lazarus Foundation, Anya St. Jean, head of security. Petra, let me know. Just let me know.
Hey. I think Petra, incidentally, when Anya handed her card, I think I was like halfway into my wallet to give her mine, and then I thought better of it. But I definitely like run up to her and kind of nervously like bobbing around whatever the two people are doing. I'm like, I don't think you can do that. I think that's ours, right? That should be ours.
Oh, I absolutely can. That is an interesting misconception, Miss Petra, but no.
Well, look, if you're not going to tell us anything, at least take us with you.
Okay, Petra, as tempting of an offer that is, I am going to have to decline. You are, you don't have jurisdiction here. Tell Lucy I said buzz off.
Can we just have a two-hour interlude where Petua makes everybody watch The Talented Mr. Ripley, please?
God.
Jesus. I'm a warlock, motherfucker. I kind of get the vibe, and maybe you will too, that Petua does not usually road trip across the United States with strangers, so this is new territory for her.
We are taking that journey in a Winnebago that was procured, I guess.
Procured, she says.
yes, procured by Mikey.
Well, I mean, it is procured because Mikey actually has no concept of stealing or personal or private property. I play Mikey, who, I mean, I'll just, it's not really spoilers because it doesn't necessarily mean anything specific, but Mikey's full name in the Discord that we run this in is Mikey the Sasquatch Boy. Essentially, Mikey is an IRL cryptid. He's a human being who has spent his entire life in isolation in the forest. Petua and Electra are some of the first people he's ever known by name. Yeah, basically just what if man as animal, entirely driven by his own inscrutable thoughts and morality that he has developed from living in total isolation. Also, he's psychic and can turn into a giant spider. That's a thing people like to focus on, too. But it's not something that Mikey thinks about as being that important to who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanically speaking, Mikey is a druid. I picked Call of the Moon, or Circle of the Moon, just to have my wild shape become a lot more extravagant. Because Mikey is less about spellcasting and more about manipulating his physical form to achieve certain effects. Yeah. I don't know what all is like known about Mikey to the other two players at this point. From their perspective, he just showed up to help them with a Winnebago, but neither of them have asked him where it came from. Essentially, just imagine a naked 30-year-old man emerging from the woods one day and stealing a camping family's motorhome and running off with it, because that's literally what happened in universe.
A Winnebago pulls up in front of you, and I'm going to let the driver of that Winnebago take over for a second.
So when she says a Winnebago pulls up, what she actually means is a Winnebago screeches to a halt 5 feet in front of you in a cloud of gravel. You can just imagine like a very heavily bearded, long-haired, kind of just like a hobo-looking motherfucker.
Okay, well, Mikey is going to push that button literally unless somebody stops him.
I think that we should.
Like, I'm walking towards the button right now.
I'm fine with this.
I know that we should press that.
He's at the button. He's about to push it. I mean, unless somebody physically stops him or tells him not to. Oh, wait, is it dark?
It's very dark, yes.
Like, okay, I'll cast Produce Flame. You all look away for a second before you know it. Mikey's hand's on fire.
Oh.
I guess it's just time to do what Mikey does best.
Something happens, which is deeply disturbing. From a mechanical aspect, this is Mikey's first use of the wild shape ability. Some altered states, evolutionary regression kind of stuff. Just sort of like a fucked up gorilla-esque human ancestor.
Mikey is just gonna sort of explode. Not out of his shirt, because thankfully the pug face t-shirt is a triple XL. His skin starts to sort of harden and split in places, especially at the joints and as his abdomen. And then another pair of limbs starts like bursts from his rib cage. I've wild shaped into a giant spider.
Oh, Lord.
It's like the second to last photo from like the cover of an Animorphs. Go back to my regular shape.
And
which is just as gross of a process as turning into the giant spider, let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of crunching and popping noises that accompanies any of Mikey's wild shapes.
Mm-hmm.
Nature of being forthcoming, I am a cannibal, so...
What's a cannibal?
Eat
you mean
you
he
three.
Eats people?
I do eat
okay.
other
people. You eat
I
people?
Eat, yes. You guys seem a lot more interested in being really judgy and weird about, you know,
you
stuff
eat
that,
people.
That's true.
That's Mikey. And he sort of pats Mikey on the shoulder.
Mikey visibly recoils from his touch.
You can definitely feel that he is wiping his hand off on Petua's sleeve.
My God, he's not a pet. It's fine.
What's a pet?
Not you. No matter what he says.
So, Electra, okay.
Yes.
You know, at her core, she's an electronic hobbyist, SoundCloud musician, so she has a passion for most things electric. That is her genre. She comes from, you know, kind of a vaguely around the Puget Sound area. Not necessarily a standard home, just kind of crashing in all the places, or her, I guess a vehicle she may have had at some point, but she's a bard, as mentioned, a musician. It's not really a whole lot I have to deviate from.
She's got a lot of really cool gear though for a bard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, she does stuff herself. You know, she's very into DIY. Like I said, she's an electronics hobbyist.
I mean, let's be clear. Mikey has the best piece of equipment in this entire party. And that is, of course, the pug t-shirt.
The pug shirt? Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Vital.
So being, you know, being a magical bard, she, you know, she's also passionate about the arcane arts that eventually led her to, you know, figuring out things about the magical world that she ties into her musical abilities with her bitchin' gear. Just, you know.
So Electra's like 5'7". Medium build, 25. She's got one of those emo goth haircuts everyone's all about these days. The little side cut, swooping, purple. Yeah. A few piercings. Sega Mega Drive chip hanging from one ear. Just kind of a all around cyberpunk babe. Electra, during the conversation, was a little bit distracted, not paying attention. She was like setting down her gear and taking the sleeves off of her jacket.
Is that like a zip or like a button kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a zip.
I thought you were just ripping them off. Okay.
Because I feel like Electra is so advanced in this cyberpunk fashion game, those sleeves might even be magnetic.
Ooh, yeah.
Things. You also see a woman who is, you're sure, like 7 feet tall at the very least. And she is built.
Fine.
As I said before, Bernice will take all of your items away if you do not.
Oh, I forgot about Bernice. All right, well,
what's Bernice up to?
Got my eye on you. And she is like she she points two fingers at her eyes and then two fingers at Electra.
Electra giggles.
I know your type.
I think you are her type.
The door opens quite quickly, and you see a woman in a button down top.
Where is this look between school marm and sexy library?
Because I've already got both locked down at once. So
like halfway between school marm and sexy librarian, and then like branch off into plucky bisexual. Is that?
Oh.
Well, hello.
Howdy.
What'd you expect me to be doing?
Well,
backflips.
I mean, you certainly look like you're capable of that, but really, I was more wondering.
I am pretty flexible.
Petra just kind of like looks at Electra like, you gotta chill, girl. You gotta chill.
How else to describe her? I mean, she's, you know, like a nerdy goth chick, I guess.
Yeah. That's
you know,
nerdy goth chick, but I feel like she's like she's also like the high fashion icon of the party because she's
yeah she like very stylish, very mm-hmm. a lot of very specific stylings that you know, aesthetics also play into a lot, and yeah.
A lot of cyberpunk stuff, a lot of
yeah
gadgets,
and a lot gizmos. Of it is. Yeah, a lot of it's relative to the types of things that she works with.
Mm-hmm.
Arcane symbols and electronic paraphernalia.
But she also has a fucking bat, doesn't she?
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah, so I was gonna get into that.
Okay, sorry.
So I was gonna talk about, like, as a hobbyist, she liked, you know, helping others with their hobbies. And so her abilities have been kind of fixated mostly towards support, but she also likes fucking shit up.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis with her bat named Wendy Carlos, which, you know, one of her heroes. Wendy Carlos, she's a electronic artist stemming back to the like 60s. And 70s, she was a major pioneer, and she's also a trans woman. She has lots of cats.
She also did all of the good Kubrick soundtracks.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, she was a massively influential. Like, she did like the Tron soundtracks, the switched on yeah. rock albums, like she
I mean
is,
you could argue yeah, she's yeah. the first person to truly make music that is purely electronic.
All y'all motherfucker fucking frat boys owe your wub wubs to your local trans woman. Go fucking find one and PayPal them $20 right now, okay? Anyway.
Or just fucking donate to this podcast, honestly.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Because Sid does do electronic music for this podcast, which is also super
yes,
cool.
Yes, that's the other thing is I was getting there. Sorry, I'm not a very well-spoken person.
That's all right. I also
myself do electronic music. So, you know, I supply all the beeps and boops that are attributed to Electra. She's got a temper, especially if you fuck with her gear. Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Just don't.
Don't do it.
So that's actually this. That kind of segues into something else I wanted to talk about. Like there's a lot of music that gets used in this show. Like I pull a lot from musicians who put their work in the Creative Commons. I also occasionally use tracks that aren't in the Creative Commons. Please don't tell on me.
It's appropriation, all right? It's bricolage.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. It's transformative or something. Yeah, you can always find the links to the music that is used in the show beneath any of the episodes. One of the most, like, you've already heard it once in this podcast. One of the most important songs to Ghost Puncher Core, Blossoms Will Sprout from the Carcass, is our intro and outro song. It's by this band called Skagos. They are a... atmospheric black metal band, kind of post-black metal band from, I believe, Victoria, British Columbia.
Shut up! Oh my god, not you guys. I'm sorry. It's the cat.
You're
we
good.
We can hear the cat. It's okay.
Everyone shut up. We need to listen to the cat.
Yeah, yeah. No, Audrey needs to speak. Give her the floor. Stop silencing her.
You're so valid, honey. I'm so sorry. You're so fat and buttery smooth and valid.
Let her speak.
I hate this. Now she's
I love you
like,
guys.
I'm literally holding my cat up to the microphone like a little cornucopia of tabby fur, and she just has given me the bitchiest, brattiest look. Like, bitch, what the fuck do you think I'm doing? I'm not a trained monkey. I'm not gonna shout unless it's to get your attention. It's Foley work. We got it. We got it.
Oh, all
it's
right,
really
y'all.
Realistic.
Oh, fuck.
We all have like 20 cats also, I think, between us, right? How many cats?
Yeah. Yeah. I think actually there's one cat per person on the podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
We should just do an episode where our cats play as us instead.
people will just end up eating my notebook.
Yeah, Necro Butcher would be a terrible DM. Total party death, no matter what. Last thing I wanted to cover, this show is supported by the Ghost Puncher Patreon. That kind of feeds into both Ghost Puncher the podcast and Ghost Puncher the show. There's actually a lot of people working on both of those, and yeah, the Ghost Puncher Patreon is really the only way that we get any like compensation for all of the work and all of the investment that we put into it. So if you like the show and you feel like kicking us, you know, even as much as $1 a month, you actually will be getting whenever I finish the episodes, if it's before the usual Thursday posting time, I will usually like throw them up on the Patreon, so that any of our Patreon donors from $1 up can access the episode early for free. Enjoy the podcast. I don't know how to end this episode.
All right, wait, we should all ask you a question now that you've
yes
grilled
ask
us.
Me questions. Oh, yes.
I think we should all ask our DM a question.
Yes,
the turns of
tables. Oh, the tables have turned.
Something I've been wondering, to what degree does the Ghost Puncher world diverge from ours, like beyond there are supernatural things running around, like in terms of its history? Like,
It's very comic booky in that it mirrors actual events, but for anything that dips into storyline, which I kind of leave that open ended, you know, there may or may not be you know, correlating events, depending on, say, for example, if, you know, some orange motherfucker were to show up in an episode of a podcast and, like something real, real bad happened, or like he was put somewhere where he can't hurt anybody. I wouldn't like name that person anything. I would just give them, here's this orange thumb. And again, we put him in a box where he can't hurt anybody. He's safe and warm and he has, I guess, enough food, but he can't hurt anyone.
I don't know if that answered my question or not.
It did not answer your question.
No. You just really wanted to talk about trapping in an invisible box, I guess.
Whoa.
Didn't. No, what are you talking about?
Nobody named any names.
No.
No, let me take another stab at answering your question. It is basically the real world.
Okay.
There are a lot of you know, I'm gonna be playing. There are a couple, like, you know, actual historical figures that have, you know, roles in events of the Ghost Puncher universe. Okay. If we go back,
but broadly speaking, its own history mirrors our own.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's what I was trying to establish.
I think for the number of cultural references that get dropped in every episode, that tracks. I will say that I do think that it's pretty apparent, if one is to listen to Ghost Puncher, that the source material is a comic. Because to me, the comic bookification of a world is pretty much this, in that it has like a stylistic overlay onto the real world. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the history is different. It just means that the vibe that people give off is a little different than like a realistic fiction would be. Because the world that it's commenting on isn't necessarily our world, it's its own world, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's a reflection of the own mythos of that world. Not to get all emotional about Ghost Puncher or whatever, but
I definitely think we're on the same wavelength, especially about like interpreting comic book worlds that way.
Yeah. That leads me to my question, which is what was it? And I kind of know this already, but specifically, especially because of the way, because I've looked through Ghost Puncher and I'm a fan of Ghost Puncher, and in terms of the mechanics that operate in this game, and specifically using D&D and also just doing a podcast, what made you specifically want to kind of assemble this team and actually like make a podcast out of it? Because it's not, you know, I think that they speak to each other as two separate works of fiction, but like what was your inspiration for getting into this whole game?
Ooh, there's a lot of answers to that. I definitely wanted to expand the world of Ghost Puncher. I wanted to comic books are a very especially like a web comic, it's a kind of a slow medium, even if, you know, we were keeping a regular update pace, which we're not always able to. So like this is something where I can just like I can tell stories about this universe that I have been building and tinkering Ghost Puncher for I have lost count of how many years. Ghost Puncher started out as a feature film script, then turned into a comic. I have something like probably 10 years worth of Ghost Puncher like comic material written out.
Excellent.
So good.
Yeah. So like I had been like breathing this world for so long, and I was just like, I wanna do more with it. And so I got four of my favorite people in the whole wide world, and made them play D&D. I mean, you know, if we can be honest, I've also, you know, the success of a lot of other actual play podcasts also inspired me to just like this is definitely, this is a very appropriate medium for me to use to explore this world.
Do y'all ever think about the fact, not to geek out here, I'm sorry, I've had some wine. I was thinking about the fact that like D&D having a resurgence in this particular moment, as opposed to like the early 2000s, which is, I mean, maybe there was one. I don't know. I always feel like now it's like getting bigger again. I wonder.
I definitely feel like there was a resurgence around when like fourth edition D&D came out. Like,
yeah.
I was just curious
towards
about
like
when
2007,
it...
2009-ish. To me, that's the second wave of it.
I'd believe that. I was always curious about like whether that was like a cultural thing or if it was just like the game getting good again. I don't know. Sorry, that you can cut that out, Eve. I was just curious about that.
No. I mean, that's one thing that's worth mentioning. We are playing Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, which came out just a few years ago. And it is a system good. That I have taken to a lot. It's a system a couple other actual play podcasts. Maybe some of you out there have heard of the Adventure Zone. It's that wildly popular podcast that literally everybody listens to.
I don't listen to it.
If you don't listen to it, the people around you won't shut up about it.
That is true. I have noticed that.
It's just Homestuck with dice at this point. It's fine.
Whoa. That's... Jesus.
That makes me so good about my decision not to listen to it.
No, I'm just in terms of the obnoxiousness of the people who like it. I'm not talking... Well, actually, no.
I mean, fandoms are just...
We're not talking about that.
Anyway.
No.
Anyway.
Fandoms are wonderful. We love fandoms.
Yes.
We love our fans. We love anybody
if
who
you
likes
make,
our
oh, yes,
stuff.
Yes.
If you make
yes.
fan art of Mikey and I think that it's bad, I will tell you that it's bad on the internet. That is a thing I am going to do.
Cassidy, be
Full
nice.
Stop.
Okay.
No. This is the spice. This is important. This is adding appeal. Mm-hmm. This is not ass kissing. This is real and gritty and raw. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's
important to on the podcast, like, you know, because I think with Electra and Petra, we have kind of left it open ended. But Mikey has a very specific, like,
I mean, he doesn't really. But like, I just feel like people's interpretations of Mikey, I'm curious to see those. But like, mm-hmm. I'm definitely not going to not tell people that their interpretation of a character is wrong. Like, there are ways you could interpret Mikey that are just straight up wrong.
I actually will say I do like that. Not gonna lie. I think that not enough people take a stand about the creative material that they put out into the world and take ownership of it.
Yeah. I mean,
first and foremost, Mikey is my character. I decide who he is and what he is like.
Yeah.
And I guess that's
like I'm not opposed to people having like their headcans or like whatever about him, but like if your headcanon for Mikey is that he's 7 feet tall, that's wrong because he's not.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very simple like example, but
it's true.
One thing I did kind of want to mention, eventually these characters will have you know, no matter how open we leave it on the podcast, there will be a quote unquote canon appearance because they are eventually like this podcast has it's very far in the future, but it has an end point, and at that end point these characters actually join up with the comic. That's about all I can say at this point, but that is something that will happen eventually.
I just can't wait to see what Ina does as far as like drawing Mikey's wild shape.
Oh my god, I've thought about this a couple times, and I'm so excited to see. Like, it had always been a pipe dream because I honestly, until this moment, did not know if there was a plan to incorporate the gang into the comic. Mm-hmm. But I'm so excited to potentially see that.
Yeah, I don't want to like that. What I said earlier to discourage people from like making fan art, because I would be absolutely fucking stoked if anybody like draws fan art for this show. Like, that would be cool as fuck.
And a couple people have, and it's been dope.
Yeah, a couple people
it
have.
It has
already.
Been amazing. Oh my god.
And I legitimately did like that other piece of fan art that somebody posted on Tumblr, even though I reblogged it saying that Mikey is in fact not tall.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was also
the art was cool. Like,
yeah, the art has all been great so far. Keep it coming. Tag us in it. I'll always be like reblogging or retweeting or whatever that shit onto like the official Ghost Puncher channels. And yeah, we always really appreciate that. We really appreciate people posting about the show.
We also appreciate like, donations to the Patreon.
Yeah.
We probably appreciate that more than anything else.
Yeah, we kind of do.
Or at least Eve does.
Also, what will become painfully clear throughout the podcast is Electra is definitely gay.
This
is all.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
I don't want any I don't want any straight fan cannons out there.
Yeah, yeah, no. Trying to ship Electra with a man is.
Don't ship Mikey with anyone, please.
Yeah, please.
Just leave him alone.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that's something that like is even. Just don't do it. Like, friends.
You can do whatever the fuck you want to Petua. Fandom bicycle Petua Jones. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to accept it.
I figure that's
Petua Jones ex Uncle Sticky.
Yeah.
No. Oh Jesus.
I mean,
blocked.
No, I mean Petua's if you get it, you get it. And if not,
yeah,
you can spend whatever time you want doing whatever you want. But it means you don't get it, mm-hmm. So that's okay. That's all I'm gonna say about Petua. But please, it just exert all of your weird sexual. I'm a veteran of this shit. I can do it. I can handle it. Please.
If you draw erotic fan art of Mikey the Sasquatch boy, I will come to your house and beat you up. I swear to God, that is a promise.
I will help.
I believe her. I won't help because I don't like getting my hands dirty, but I do love watching my wife beat up people. So
I don't know, you've never even seen that.
I know. I want to so bad.
She specifically made this podcast just on the off chance that she could finally see it.
Sid, I don't think I ever got a question from you. Did you have a question for me?
I'm so bad at this, but I was just gonna end up defaulting to like, are you having fun? how are we doing?
Yeah, are you having fun?
I am having so much fucking fun with this podcast. This is
fuck yeah.
This has been one of the most like I have been I'm gonna wax poetic about creativity for a second here.
Please.
From high school through my whole career in college, I was a writer and I mostly wrote screenplays for student films. Usually those would like I would say maybe 10% of my screenplays got turned into finished like things. And I always had to write them under like, you know, oh, we can only film this for like $5 and we've got like a, you know, we've got three people and none of them know how to act. And, you know, always working under huge limitations. So actually Ghost Puncher started out as like the minute I graduated college, I was so exhausted, by that kind of just that kind of limitation that I sat down and I wrote something that I wrote a feature film script called Ghost Puncher, and I said, okay, the goal here is to write something that would take that would cost $300 million to film and that three people would want to see. That original script I think is definitely, there's a lot of really crazy shit in there, and it morphed into the Ghost Puncher that we have today, but like kind of the whole thing. Excellent. It is an exercise in like the uninhibited just like excess. Ghost Puncher is kind of a it's all the crazy shit that I've always wanted to do in like fiction and everything like that, and kind of I've in the past I've had to, you know, kind of choose what I want to do based on the limitations of my medium. But comic books, podcasting, these, you know, doesn't cost any money to say like, oh, and then everything explodes because, yeah, you know, it's all theater of the mind shit. So, I think we'll close the podcast out on just everybody imagine just like a giant mech and like a lobster that's like 400 feet tall. The mech has it has like a giant hammer and sickle spray painted on the side of it. You'll learn why.
Sure.
And I
can imagine.
I know a lot of secret Ghost Puncher lore that nobody else does because Eve makes me read her scripts.
That's
fullest lore.
That's true. Anyway, so this communist
it's like being Gene Roddenberry's wife.
It's not comparable to that at
no,
all.
It's not comparable to that at all.
Oh, God.
I hope we get an equivalent of Lixana Troy
in this, God.
In this, God, I in this podcast.
Oh, it turns out that Uncle Sticky's just like 40 tribbles in a trench coat. Anyway.
Are you kidding me? I would die.
I feel
like Mikey would love tribbles. And so would Petua. Well, Mikey...
God, am I going to have to include tribbles in the podcast now?
I mean,
anyway,
you don't have
y'all...
to include anything, any of the dumb shit we mentioned. You do I sometimes, and I'm not sure why. Godspeed.
You really fucked up your Lobster Mech Pacific Rim sequel, whatever the fuck that was.
There's oh God, that was gonna
listen,
be
listen,
my
it's either Pacific Rim or the best Broadway production of The Little Mermaid you've ever seen. And we're just gonna leave it at that.
God.
Lucy again, just a quick request for you. If you have any friends who are into D&D, the supernatural, cryptozoology, or, you know, lesbianism, maybe shoot them a link to this episode of the podcast. Word of mouth always helps us grow, and this episode in particular is a great introduction, especially for people who might not be familiar with this kind of show. Now, go forth and do my dark biddings, my darlings.